Good evening to our audience on American Muslim 360 on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Talk Unchained. I'm your host, Marlon Aldridge, and each week we discuss topics in politics, business, education, race relations, international affairs, and much more. When Americans vote for a president and vice president, they are actually voting for presidential electors, known collectively as the Electoral College. It is these electors, chosen by the people, who elect the chief executive. The Constitution assigns each state a number of electors equal to the combined total of the state's Senate and House of Representatives delegations. At present, the number of electors per state ranges from 3 to 55 for a total of 538 electors. Today, I argue that black voters in the southern states, where they represent over 11 million voters, have nothing to do with electing the president of the United States are in effect disenfranchised. What do you think about that? Of course, I would like in our show, as always, especially if you live in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, or South Carolina. I definitely love to hear from you. And how did this start? First of all, I want to back up and I want to give a shout out to my good buddy here in Dayton, Ohio, Carlos Buford. And Carlos is always out in the community. He runs a nonprofit. He's always out in the community encouraging people to vote, African Americans especially. And he can sign them up right on the spot. So I wanted to dedicate this show to him for the hard work that he's doing out in the community. But I also wanted to provide some information that I think is very important for all of us, even our black elected officials in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. Some of you may have seen the post, or at least there was an article in which Cory Booker, who's one of our senators, I think there are three, if I'm not mistaken, one of our senators say that he was pretty much disappointed that blacks did not show up to vote in the 2016 election. And when I saw that, I'm thinking to myself, what? A black senator would say this. Now, he should know better. This Electoral College, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to definitely give you some information on that. But as I have said, from the very beginnings of the Electoral College, especially after the 13th and 14th Amendments were ratified, actually the 13th through the 15th, let's go all the way through them. We refer to those, some of us refer to that as the Black Constitution. And I don't know about all of that, because at least in this person's opinion, any amendment that has been written on behalf of black people has benefited them less than it has the majority. And of course, we live in a democracy, and in a democracy, the majority rules. I want you to remember that point, because I'm going to tie that in to the Electoral College. Of course, the call-in number is 515-605-9891. Again, that's 515-605-9891. Press 1 to get in the queue. If you have questions, please no speakerphones or listening to the show on another medium, as this may present feedback in the podcast. Of course, all of Talk Unchained shows are archived, so you can come back and you can listen to them at your leisure. The Electoral College. Well, we've mentioned a little bit about that. And of course, every 4 years, there is an election that is held for at least the president and the vice president. That's where the Electoral College comes in. It has existed since 1804. It actually existed before that, but in its present content configuration, it has been around since 1804. They say that prior to that, that one was unworkable, so they had to institute another amendment, the 12th Amendment, which authorizes the current Electoral College. Let me give you just a little bit of information on that, so at least you'll have the background and the context by which I am going to speak today. And it says, aside from the members of Congress and persons holding offices of trust or profit under the Constitution, anyone may serve as an elector. In each presidential election year, a group of candidates for elector is nominated by political parties and other groupings in each state. It's important for us to understand that each of us are citizens of the the states in which we reside. And usually at the state party convention or by the party state committee. It is these elector candidates rather than the presidential and vice presidential nominees for whom the people vote in the November election. So you are not directly voting for the president and vice president. You are voting for their prospective electors in your state. And, of course, the election is held in November, which is held on Tuesday after the first Monday in November. In most states, voters cast a single vote for the slate of electors pledged to the party presidential and vice presidential candidates of their choice. And the slate winning the most popular votes is selected. Now, here's what I want you to get, because this is what a lot of people seem to miss. The slate winning the most popular votes is elected. This is known as the winner all or general ticket system. I want you to really focus on that, because that's going to allow me to suggest that if you are living in those eight states that I mentioned earlier, you have nothing to do with electing the president and vice president of the United States. Let's go a little bit further so that we can be informed. Electors assemble in their respective states on Monday after the second Wednesday in November. They are pledged and expected, but not required, to vote for the candidates they represent. Separate ballots are cast for president and vice president, after which the Electoral College ceases to exist for another 4 years. Electoral vote results are counted and certified by a joint session of Congress held on January 6th of the year succeeding the election. A majority of electoral votes, currently 270 of 538, is required to win. If no candidate receives a majority, then the president is elected by the House of Representatives, and the vice president is elected by the Senate, a process known as contingent election. Now, let's talk about the last election, the 2016. Of course, we all know President Trump won. He had 306 Electoral College votes to Hillary Clinton's 232 votes. That's a margin of 74 electoral votes. Now watch this. I want you to pay attention to this. In those eight states that I mentioned, and I'm going to say them again because I want you to pay attention, we're talking about Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, South Carolina, Alabama, North Carolina, and Tennessee. There are In those states, there are a total 80 Electoral College votes. 80. Now, in those same states, There are also congressional districts, and I want to give you the number of the total number of congressional districts in those eight states is 64. Now, get this. Black people control at least 11 of them. Okay? Let's contrast the winner-take-all system. In other words, the person, the presidential candidate who gets the most votes in a particular state, excluding Nebraska and Maine, they have a different system. The person who gets in that state gets all of the Electoral College votes. Okay, so technically speaking, blacks that live in those states should be able to command 11, at least 11 out of those 80. They get none. Okay? I'm looking at the Electoral College map now. Now, I see red. It's bleeding red. Okay? But I want to pay attention to those states. And if you looked at any Electoral College map, 2008, you go back as far as you want to go. Let's say modern times at least. Let's go back at least to Clinton. We'll go back to Clinton. These particular states are going to be red. They traditionally vote for that I mentioned. They are not swing states. There are about 11 swing states that are, depending on what year it is, they could vote Democratic presidential ticket, or they could vote a Republican. And, of course, some of us were surprised this year. Michigan is a swing state. Ohio is a swing state. Now, of course, Michigan, look what's in Michigan. You have a lot of labor in Michigan, and they have voted Democratic in the past. This particular year, they voted Republican, as did Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is also a swing state. There are about 11 of them that they go with the wind. They're about in the middle. That's where you can say your moderates are located. Those are the people that are in the middle that could swing left or right. And then, of course, there are a number of states you don't have a chance if you're a Republican. California is one, Nevada. I mean, there's some others that up in the northeast corner. But if you don't see that much blue. But the thing is, though, is that those places that I have mentioned are going to have pretty significant numbers Electoral College votes. Like California has 55, and they always vote Democratic. So if you are a Republican presidential candidate, you may not even want to waste your time going to places like California. Of course, here in Ohio, they're always going to come through Ohio, because they say if you win in Ohio, for the most part, you will probably end up winning the presidential elections if you live in Ohio. Pennsylvania, I may have already said Pennsylvania. That's one that would normally vote. Well, it's a swing state. This year, it was no chance, I don't think. There's 20 Electoral College votes in Pennsylvania. Ohio has 18. Now, keep in mind that these numbers, these Electoral College votes, are determined by the population that you have in your state. So they're distributed by your population, which is determined by each census, of course, which occurs every 10 years. Florida is a swing state, but this year they decided to go Republican. That's a total of 29 Electoral College votes. Arkansas, let's read them off. If you live in Arkansas, there are 6 Electoral College votes now. Now, we're talking about each congressional district. And then, of course, each state has 2 senators. So if you look at a place like Alaska, they only have 1 senator, but House of Representatives, but they have 2 senators. So places like Alaska, there's just not that many people there. Vermont would be another one. They have 2 senators, but only 1 House of Representatives. Just to give you an idea here. Louisiana has 8 electoral college. He has 6. Alabama has 9. Georgia has 16. South Carolina has 9. And North Carolina has 15. Tennessee has 11. Now, if you are a black person living in those states, I want you to hear me clearly. You're wasting your time voting for the president and vice president. You are, of course, are more likely to get those number of congressmen elected to the House, that is, that are within the areas that you are the majority, or at least the people in those particular areas are going to vote Democratic. Now, let's make sure that we're not splitting hairs here. Most black people vote tune of about 95%. You can fudge those numbers a little bit if you want, but that is generally the case. Most of us, when we vote, are going to vote Democratic, and many of us aren't going to waste our time with the Republicans. And at least from my standpoint, they're just too racist. I'm not going to say I don't disagree. I disagree with all of their policies, but I just can't see myself being part of a party that sees me as their natural born enemy. And that's how I look at it. Certain people in this country see me and you as the natural born enemy, and they will never vote in your interest. Now, if you pay attention to the news, and I'm pretty sure most of you do, because this Facebook has a lot of news there, and I see the posts that you're sharing with your friends and your family. And, of course, you're seeing the slave patrols. That's what I call them. You may call them the police. I see them as slave patrols are out here doing what their charter commands that they do, and that minorities, okay, to persecute minorities. And that's what they've always done. The police, slave patrols. You refer to it as police brutality. I refer to it as political persecution. The police are agents of whom? They're agents of the state. Okay, so these are state-sanctioned actors, and their job is to harass you and I. Let's make that clear. So if you want to end police brutality, you shouldn't go marching in front of a police department. You should be marching in the state legislatures. You should be marching in, well, that's where you're going to have to do it. You're citizens of the state and those political subdivisions. Okay? So we need to understand that, and understand that we are being persecuted in the same way that people have been persecuted, minorities, whatever you want to call them. I don't care what time period you go to, what location on the planet you go to, somebody's being persecuted. Okay? We need to understand that. And, of course, I want to open up the phone lines. I want to know what you think, especially if you're living in one of those states that I mentioned, and you're voting, and you're out here encouraging everybody to vote. I want to know, challenge me. I want to be challenged tonight. That's what I want to occur. I need somebody like Cory Booker to call me tonight, who's, like I said, is a senator. I want to hear the other side of the story, if there is another side. We are talking about, let me make sure I'm giving you the numbers correct here. We are talking about, in these 8 southern states, the black population there, 11.8 million. That's a whole lot of votes. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's only about, what, 48, somewhere between 46 to 49 million of us. And So let's say somewhere around 25% of our population lives in the South. Now, I'm not including the whole South. I'm really just including those eight states. Now, why am I talking about those states? Let me tell you why this is significant. Mississippi, 37 blacks comprise 37% of the population. Let me start at the top. So we'll, again, we always want to inform and educate, and I want to make sure the District of Columbia, 50% of the population there is black. We're talking about 305,000 people. Mississippi, 37% of the population there is black. Louisiana, 32%. Of course, I'm rounding these numbers. Georgia, 31%. We're talking about 3.1 million black people in Georgia. Maryland, 30%. South Carolina, 28%, almost 28.5%. Alabama, 26%. We're talking about 1.2 million people in Alabama. North Carolina, 21.6%. 2 million people there. Delaware, almost 21%. Not that many people there, though, 191,000, close to 192,000. Virginia, 1.5 million. Now, they'll traditionally vote Democratic, so there's no problem there. Your vote counts there. Tennessee, almost 17%. There's another million people in Tennessee. There's a lot of people in Florida, too, but that's a swing state. So your vote, depending on what year it is, may or may not count. Now, we're talking about for the president. The president and the vice president, I need to be clear, so I don't want you guys going out there saying that our vote doesn't count at any level. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about in presidential elections. In Arkansas, almost 16%. And in terms of population, the numbers, we're talking about almost half a million people there in Arkansas. So this is important for us to understand. We're talking basically about 25% of the black population being shut out. Well, the numbers are really higher than that, but we're not going to look at the smaller states. Here's another thing to understand, too. There's a general trend happening in the United States, and really not just in the United States, but in all of the developed countries. What we are seeing is that people are migrating to the cities. And the bigger the cities are, the more likely they are to vote Democratic. So what we're seeing is we're seeing this population trend where people are moving from the smaller towns and rural areas, moving to the larger cities because that's where the jobs are, I'm assuming. And they are tend to be more Democratic. So we see the numbers going up in terms of share. If we're looking at the share, and really we only have two parties now. I am going to talk about independents, and I'm going to tell you why you are wasting your time and you are putting us at a disadvantage, or if you are the person that votes for the independent. You are putting us at a disadvantage. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But I looked at some statistics that said that as people move to the larger cities, we're talking about the mega cities and the larger cities, those smaller cities become more and more Republican. They tend to vote more and more for the Republican candidate. So there's, like I said before, there's some places that you're just going to be wasting your time, at least voting for the president, because many of these states are either going to vote Republican or Democrat. And so there's really only 11 states. We call those the moderates. Those are the moderate states. If you consider a bell-shaped curve and how that's, those are the people in the middle. But as we look generally, though, we see those people being thinned out. The politics have become so contentious that we're getting more people that are shifting either to the right of the political spectrum. We're talking about conservative and highly capitalistic. And then, of course, on the other extreme political end, you have, well, let's just say it like it is. You got the socialist slash the communist. Okay, so you got these two extremes. I'd say that Bernie Sanders was too left of center and probably more far left than most Democrats. And, of course, he was an independent. Now, if you ask me, let me back up. The independents, and, of course, there were some. You don't hear about them because they're just not that significant. Historically, we've had a two-party system. And so you're not going to break, and the way the system is set up with the Electoral College, the winner take all, you're wasting your time. And here's why. Out of the many years of the Electoral College, the majority, no one has ever won, no independent, that is, has ever won an Electoral College Electoral College vote but one person. I'm wondering, can anyone tell me who that is? I'm going to leave that open for just a little bit. I give you a hint. It's in the South. Well, there's been one person to ever win, and I'd like to see somebody come up on the dashboard and to answer that question. Who was the one person? And as far as I can recall, there was only one person to ever win one Electoral College vote. Now, if you're as old as I am, you know that Ross Perot ran. And I'm going to admit, I was a little bit excited about Ross Perot when he decided to run because he was so different. And I remember the one comment he made concerning NAFTA, and he said something to the effect, you're going to hear this huge sucking sound. And he had his presentations, presentations, and I don't think anybody had ever done that, any presidential candidate, and I voted in every election since I was able to. I don't remember seeing any presidential candidate pull out a presentation the way Ross Perot did. So I was really impressed with him, and then for some reason, he decided to drop out, and then he decided to come back in. At that point, I couldn't trust him anymore, so I didn't vote for him. And I'm glad I didn't, because he didn't receive any Electoral College votes. So nobody's come up on the dashboard yet. I'm assuming no one knows this, or maybe you do and you just don't want to say anything. Who remembers George Wallace? The former governor of Alabama. Now, of course, he was governor from 1963 to 1967. Now, get this. He was a Democrat during those times. And, of course, those of us in the know that most of those states that I mentioned, they used to be referred to as what? Dixiecrats. Those were Democratic states. And, of course, after the Lyndon Baines Johnson years, all of that switched. I'm open to somebody challenging me on that time period. That's the time period that I recall where all of those, or many of the states that are red now in the South, were blue then. Of course, George Wallace, like I said, he was a Democrat. Lyndon Baines Johnson was from Texas. He was the Democrat. Texas is a red state now, and you don't have any chance of trying to win the presidency as you are a Democrat living in Texas. Remember, we had the two Bushes, right? We had two Bushes from Texas. Then, of course, we had, if you remember, we had Bill Clinton. He was from Arkansas. He was a Democrat. So we've seen these shifts over time. And George Wallace, he ran for president in 1968. He's the only person that, of course, he lost, but he was the only person that I know that ever received an Electoral College vote. He started his own independent party. It was called the American Independent Party. The American Independent Party was formed by Wallace, who's pro-segregation. This is what he ran on now. Policies as governor had been rejected by the mainstream of the Democratic Party. And in 1968, he ran on the idea that there's not a dime's difference between the two major parties. I will agree with him on that. I'll call him the good cop, bad cop. And Wallace's strategy was essentially the same as that of Dixiecrat candidate Strong Thurmond. Now, he was from South Carolina. Now, you're talking about a racist. Woohoo! This man was a racist, and he looked like a racist. He ran in 1948, and that the campaign was run without any realistic chance of winning the election outright, but instead with the hope of receiving enough electoral votes to force the House of Representatives to decide the election, something many observers thought might happen. Now, keep in mind, this Electoral College vote, they have pledged to vote for the candidate that of their particular parties, okay? Now, there are sanctions and fines that will happen if they don't vote that way, and I think this time around there's probably only one or two people, if I recall correctly, that did not vote the party line, and they got hammered, and they changed their mind, okay? So there are penalties. It's so contentious now that they will impose sanctions against you. In the event that they can't decide by a plurality or majority vote, then, of course, it goes to the House of Representatives for, what was that I said? I think that was for the president, and then, of course, the Senate for the vice president. Of course, that didn't happen. That's what they were hoping for. And what would be the benefit of that to George Wallace? This would presumably give him the role of power broker. And Wallace hoped that the southern states could use their clout to end federal efforts toward desegregation. That's what it was all about. And so if you are living in the South, in particular those eight states, you already know the history of disenfranchisement. That still exists today from the of you not being able to vote for the president and the vice president, and that puts us all at risk, and that was one of the criticisms I had with Cory Booker. And he should know better. This is an intelligent man. He should know that the system is rigged. This winner-take-all system is rigged, and I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to talk about some of the recommendations that have been made. People are talking about the national vote. Now, I'm not quite sold on that. I'm a little bit more sold on the apportionment that Nebraska and Maine has. Now, Maine, just to give you an instance, they had four Electoral College votes. Trump received three of them. Hillary Clinton received one. Now, that one makes more sense to me. Now, of course, you're always going to have some distractors that are going to come up with some reasons to say, well, that's not fair. They're going to have some negative criticisms. But here's what I'm saying. There is no perfect solution. What we should be trying to do is to minimize the inequity. And there's no way in the world that you can tell me that 25% of black elected voters should not be participating in the presidential and vice presidential selection process. There is no equity in that whatsoever, and we shouldn't expect to have something that is totally perfect, especially where humans involved, because some people are just, whatever your interests are, they're going to have the opposite interests. Some people are going to be calculating with that. We see that happening in each of the states with the gerrymandering that is taking place. That has more to do with the House representatives, by the way. Doesn't have much to do with the Senate. You only have two. And so doesn't have much to do with the Senate. They're going to vote along party lines with that. You're normally going to have a Republican, and you're normally going to have a Democrat with that. That's why it's, I can't remember the exact numbers, but those numbers are closest. There are 100 senators, and I think the Republicans have a slight majority in terms of those numbers. Of course, it's a huge difference in the House. And I'm going to suggest, at least as far as the numbers that I've seen, the Republicans, they are playing these tricks because their numbers are dwindling. Their numbers are dwindling. They're able to play these tricks, though, with the gerrymandering and then, of course, the strict voter ID laws. And then, of course, the billionaires, we need to mention them as well. They're playing a part. The Koch brothers is what we need to be aware of. There are some other things that are happening, too. The John Birch Society. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. Well, first of all, we have to start from the premise. Those folks that are living in the rural areas, we are still living in a period of, at least in my mind, extreme desegregation in terms of our living arrangements. So we have things happening in our communities in terms of community organization, in terms of community discussions. Now, I hope you don't believe that they aren't having the same types of discussions, and that's where these groups come in, the John Birch Society, the Koch brothers, who are billionaires. And we know that they're going to be spending a lot of money in the midterm elections, somewhere around or over, at least from my sources, over $400 million are going to go to some of these PACs, and they're going to run these negative ads. You can definitely, well, if you're paying attention, you're seeing them on the TV now, because I'm definitely seeing those ads in Ohio, and they are some ruthless ads. They aren't holding back. You may know about Citizens United against the federal, what was it, the Federal Election Commission that said that money was a form of speech, and that opened up the floodgates to allow these corporations to make these big donations, not to the political parties, but to these PACs, these 527? I think it's up under the IRS code 527. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller from 770. Caller from 770. State your name if you like and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Marlon Aldridge. This is Sister Amina from Decatur, Georgia.
Georgia.
Yes,
That's
why I called. That is why I called, because I'm one of the states that you mentioned. And also, you know, there's a lot of controversy going on here in this state regarding people in the Secretary of State's office and these people that deal with the so-called voter fraud, they're trying to bring all of these little obstacles that they used to have years ago when our ancestors were trying to vote, you know, bringing all these little poll tax and this thing. You know, they call it something else, but they're trying to sneakily put in all these obstacles to keep African Americans from voting. And then these election laws, you know, they're trying to gerrymander, and you took the words out of my mouth, the gerrymandering of these districts all over this whole state. And then you have the small Georgia towns where they are actually trying to muster up support to bring about some kind of Confederate flag celebrations. And they met with some resistance with that, and it's like, no way. There's no way in the world that's going to happen.
Well, I know they don't play down there in Georgia. I remember going to school down there in the 80s and marching in Forsyth County. Were you there? Were you living
yes.
in Georgia? There were,
no.
I think that was 87, I think. 87 or 88. I can't remember which year it was, but Hosea Williams, who's deceased now,
yes.
organized a march. Now, I love that band. What did he say? He was unbought and
unbought. Yes, everybody loves Jose. And his daughter and his son-in-law, they're doing a mighty work here, because all over the state of Georgia, they feed thousands of homeless people every single holiday, every single
mm-hmm.
major holiday. And it's a wonderful effort to get blessings and get barakats, you know, joining with them to do this. And their father put this in place. Now, I translated here in 1990. That was right before I came in 87.
Oh, okay.
But I remember hearing about that, because I remember back when I was watching mainstream media before I just put completely cut off from what they call news, because it's all propaganda and censored. But I remember that there was a big controversy, and Oprah Winfrey had a whole show about that. I remember that, where mm-hmm. all those, and she had gone live on location down here to Forsyth, Georgia, interviewing people in the audience on both sides, and it was a contentious, very hostile show, and people around the country were up in arms because, you know, from what I remember, the Klan was trying to march in the streets and all of that, and this is what I called about as well. You have these white supremacist groups that are trying to rear their head, and I know that I just heard in Noonan, Georgia, which is not too far from here, Metro Atlanta. Actually, we know some people in our Masjid community that are from Noonan, where they were trying to, it was just a few weeks ago, these people were trying to have a march. The Klan was trying to have a march it had something to do with the Confederate flag. They want to keep that Confederate flag, and they're meeting with such resistance from everybody. People are like, no, you're trying to force hate again. And these are the same people that voted for Trump. And there's a whole lot of, how can I say, there's a lot of black Republicans as well. You know, you got a lot of them that are meeting with resistance in this metro area. You know, they called and talked in one of the major talk stations here when Trump was, when that person that's in the White House was getting elected. And when all of this first happened, but now all of a sudden with all the scandal, you don't hear from them now. And I find that
mm-hmm.
very interesting. They're very quiet now.
They don't want it. Hey, they don't. They know They know what we will do. They know what the majority of us will do. We will call them all kinds of names. And for the benefit of our audience, now, I know we have some older, we have elders in our audience, of course, I'm sure, who probably marched during the 50s and the 60s and probably even the 40s. Now, I was born in 63, so I don't recall any of that. But I tell you what, I got a taste of it when we marched in Forsyth County in around 87. It was, they had the state, I don't know who that was out there. They had riot gear on. They had these big old clubs. And it was buses of us. I mean, I can't remember how many people went up there, but the whites were all lined up along the streets. And here's what I remember in no uncertain terms. I would imagine that the adults would be angry and violent, and they're screaming and cursing, but the little children were doing the same thing. They weren't even school age, and the little children were doing the most cussing and spitting and things of that nature. And that, oh, my goodness, that was something to behold.
This is how they're trained. They're trained that way. Woo. They're trained. That shows the training that they're getting from the adults.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
They get this indoctrination every single day. And that's the crux of why things, you know, this racism, white supremacy is so rampant, because this is an indoctrination that happens. And then the interesting thing is that a lot of these little small southern towns, they have the same phenomenon going on with black folk. You know, they're scared to speak up. They are threatened if they join any protest march and all of that. There was just a incident that happened in Camilla, Georgia, with a African American city council person being called the N-word by some law enforcement there, and several people in this metro area, you know, they were talking about it on the other talk station that I listened to. They went down there in protest, and one person, they did not allow him. He was the elected mayor in one of those towns. And they took the keys of the city, would not even let the man. He was voted in mayor, but they would not allow him to take office. And there had to be a protest from, you know, people went down in buses down there, because Camilla, Georgia is like a little small. It made the news because one of the activists here, and his name is Rashad Ritchie, you know, he organized the march and talked about it on the air, and had one of the Caucasian city council people interviewed with his position that he didn't think it was right. He agreed. He agreed with the fact that the African American took office. You know, he won the election fair and square, but they would not even allow him to take office. So it was a big mess. So now I know, the last I heard, there was a threat in a lawsuit and all that, and I lost track, because, you know, but I know this has been a few months back where that made the news. He deliberately did a report with, because he's also a commentator on one of the local stations here, CBS affiliated stations. So, I mean, this is the evidence of seeing how all of this tampering with the democratic, so-called democratic process that they keep trying to say that we have, but yet they keep tampering with the process that the people have a right to be involved in. But that's all. I'll stop right there. Someone else may want to comment, but it's just amazing what goes on.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Amina from Decatur, Georgia, thank you for listening to our show. For those of you that are in Georgia, I'm not sure how many more we have in our audience. Now, I know that we are an emotional people. I know that. And we don't take, well, I'm not going to say that. We do take a whole lot of mess, but it's certain things we get a little bit emotional on. And for those in Georgia, there are more pressing issues than somebody calling you names and flags. Me personally, I don't give a damn about a flag. You are what you are. If you have a trajectory that is outside 22.5 degrees of that equator, if you have an ancestral trajectory that is outside of those 22.5 degrees north or south of the equator, you probably have some violent tendencies in your cultural history. And so that's why you're seeing what you're seeing in many of these places in regards to what we used to refer to as the different tribes. We've always fought, but depending on where you are, some of us have fought more than others. And really, those that fall outside of that 22.5 degrees latitude, north or south of the equator, if you don't believe what I'm saying, I think the name of the book is Iceman. Go pick up a copy of the book Iceman, and it provides some theoretical background as to why people are as violent and sexist as they are. I won't say too much about that. That's another show, by the way. But Georgia, you guys have 16 electoral college votes. I see that four of the congressional districts there you control out of a total of 14. Now, if there's anybody in the audience from Arkansas, I mean, my goodness, you have 16% of you're 16% of the population there, and you, out of the four congressional districts there, you control none of them. And there are six electoral college votes there, four congressional districts, and then, of course, you have the two Senate districts. And the people in Arkansas, y'all have some work to do. You should at least control one of those. So there's some extreme gerrymandering, I would assume, going on in Arkansas. I'm going to suppose that the people there aren't complacent. So there are some forces there allied against our people living in Arkansas. But as I've said, if you live in one of the eight states that I've mentioned before, and we know that we like to call Georgia, at least in the Atlanta area, we like to call that the Mecca of the South. But you are not participating in the presidential election process because, as I've said, it's a winner-take-all system. And the person who gets the majority votes gets all of the electoral college votes. So if you're living in Georgia, Trump got 16. He got 16 of those votes that are designated for Georgia, 14 congressional districts and two Senate districts. Mississippi college votes. I don't care if all 37% of you came out to vote, and there's only two people to vote for the most part, that independent, they aren't going to get that many votes. If they get 1% or 2%, they're doing lucky. They're lucky to get that amount. So most of those votes are going to go either to the Democrat or to the Republican candidate. And if you're living in Mississippi, that candidate is going to be a Republican. Okay, if you're living in Louisiana, there are eight electoral college votes there. That presidential candidate that gets elected there is going to be a Republican. you're living in Arkansas, I've already said there's 6 electoral college votes there. That person has historically been a Republican. South Carolina, there's no difference. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the internet and I want you to pull up the electoral college map, pull it up for 2016, pull it up for 2012, pull it up for 2008. You can go back as far as you want to go back and prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. If you're living in Alabama, the home of George Wallace, who's deceased, of course, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but he ended up having some type of accident, and he was confined to a wheelchair, and he got Jesus or something to that effect. And I remember black people hugging him and all of this kind of stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again, turning the other cheek. But let me be quiet on that. North Carolina, 15 electoral college votes. 22% of the population there, or eligible voters, that is, are black. You're going to have a Republican. Tennessee, 11 electoral college votes. 17% of the voting public there is black. You're going to have a Republican president. Now, I'm going to have to go back and check this. I didn't get a chance to look at the number of House of Representatives in each one of these places. I'm assuming that Georgia has 4. Mississippi has 1. Now, that's shameful for Mississippi to only have 1. You can imagine that there is extreme gerrymandering going on there, as well as voter harassment. Louisiana is another one, 31%. They only have only one of 6 congressional districts there are controlled by blacks. I've already mentioned Arkansas. That's shameful. So there's work to be done in Arkansas. But let me finish out the show. We're near the end. I wanted to talk about some of the possibilities. And I think the proportional systems that Nebraska and Maine are using, those would be to our benefit, because you can see, and we can do it along the lines of congressional districts. And then those places in the South, you can see that they would have a chance of at least, according to my numbers here, getting anywhere from 4 electoral college votes to, anywhere from 1 to 4, depending upon where you're living at. If you're looking at, I'm going to say the minimum number should be at least 19. The minimum number, somewhere around 19, plus or minus a few, because I'm not quite sure how the senators rank in those particular areas along party lines. It could be half, 1 Democrat, 1 Republican, or maybe even 2 Republicans. I didn't get a chance to look at those numbers, but there would be a number of electoral college votes that could be had if we went to a proportional system. We need to be aware of the numbers, and we need to quit speaking according to our opinions. And we need to have some evidence. We need to have the facts. Not only do we need to know the facts or the evidence, but we also need to know the historical information. We need to know the tricks that have been played against us. Now, Brother Carlos, I know your passion, bro. We need, and I'm willing to help, of course. You know that I'm willing to help. I'm the data guy. I want to go out and get the numbers. I want to go out and look at what history tells us about the tricks that have been played to keep us at a disadvantage. So we have to start from the position that we are the minorities. We need to understand that this winner-take-all system takes all of the votes away from the minority. We live in a majority system. I hope we understand that, and I'm only repeating myself because I was on Facebook today, and it seems like some people had no clue what I was talking about. And I think I was very straightforward. I think I speak pretty well. Maybe you guys can tell me different. I don't know, but I hope I've been playing tonight. I want to thank Sister Amina for chiming in, letting us know what's going on down there in Georgia, where I used to go to school at, right down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you'd like to listen to past episodes of Talk Unchained, I want you to visit blogtalkradio.com/American Muslim 360 and search for Talk Unchained or Marlon Aldridge among the on-demand episodes or in the search box near the top of the webpage. Tune in to more informative, thought-provoking broadcasts on AM 360 tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Critical Issues with Solutions, Money Sense, and a New Day for El Islam. This is Marlon Aldridge. I welcome you back next Wednesday. And each and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, spread the word about the show and follow me on Facebook. Until next time, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.